Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 595. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Jeff Keighley called one of my favorite franchises Civilization. He called it Civilizations on his fucking show. He's dead to me.
Multiple civilizations.
Dead.
Earl is here as well. Not angry about mispronouncing strategy game names, though.
Not at all, but do you know what I have for you folks right now, right here on this very podcast? A world premiere.
Oh, God, no.
All right, Earl. It's been 458 days since they announced Shredder's Revenge. When's it coming?
It is coming June 16th. It is coming 1 week from today, as of this recording. It is on Game Pass, which I
free
think, awesome. Yeah,
I think we had discussed that possibility before. I was always like, I can see somebody doing a stealth announcement. It is weird that it was not a stealth drop, but whatever. It's $25. It's on everything, but it's on Game Pass. They announced Casey Jones, which I don't think was a surprise to many people. It's just really funny. Because I think I mentioned before on the show that I watched the original series all the way through last year, during the pandemic days of like not even the house versus the pandemic days of even the house and not wanting to. but the reason I bring that up is Casey Jones is in 3 episodes out of 187. He's a very minor part of that show.
Wow.
Do people like have a fondness for him because he had a bigger role in the movies?
It has to be the movies. Like, he's been a bigger part of later shows, but he's only in 3 episodes of the original series. There's 187. I don't want to do the math, but I'm assuming that is close to like 1.75% of the episode. I mean, the odds of you watching OE his episodes as a kid are probably close to zero, as you can get. But people have a fun. And I really do think it's because of the first movie, because he's not even in the second movie. And we don't really talk about the third movie that often, so it's not in good company.
I wonder, now we're dating ourselves here, talking about VHS tapes. But like in when we were kids, they had they would sell VHS tapes of like cartoons and stuff that had like 3 episodes on them. I wonder if there was a Casey Jones.
I mean, that's a possibility.
That just had those episodes, and that's what like somebody just they only watched those 3 over and over again.
Because yeah, I would say that if anything, maybe Leatherhead would make more sense or. They had those teenage sidekicks from Dimension X, but yeah, I'm excited. We did get confirmation of 6 players. I think that was. I don't think we talked about it on the show.
That's a lot of players.
Yeah,
it'd be chaotic.
Yeah, I'm not like I'm always in these kind of games getting myself mixed up with the player I'm playing with. You don't put 5 other players out there. I am never gonna know what's going on.
4 of which, you're kind of look the same.
Yes.
Like they have different weapons and you know different color attachments to them, but still, it's going to be a chaotic, fun game. I mean, I think we'll probably play it 6 players like once or twice. But
yeah. I would also say just a random fun fact that is not important to anything, but. To Tony's point, the reason that they all have different colors is because of the cartoon. And they thought it would be, because in the comic books, the original comic books, they all wore red bandanas and had red belts. The cartoon is like, kids are not going to be able to tell them apart. And that's how they ended up getting each one having a unique color, which, I mean, to be fair, has helped the franchise. It has made people define a lot of those characters. But yes, originally they.
How did they tell them apart in the comic books?
Weapons.
Did they like look different? Oh, by the weapons.
Yeah, I guess like Raphael uses the Psi, you know, Michelangelo uses the nunchucks.
Right, but if they're like just sitting around eating pizza, you don't know one is which.
Yeah. I mean, some of it is kind of hokey because like they also added the like the belts. I mean, that hasn't carried over as much. Each of the belts have their issues on it as well, which again is something from that era. But yeah, I can't fault it. I think it works. I'm just super excited after like what 489 days or whatever that
we're at 458 as of now. It'll be what 467 when it hits.
The fact that this coming soon game, but like
it's finally coming.
Yes, soon. I'm just excited that it's going to be here. And yeah, I can't wait to play. Again, it's on Game Pass. I'll be playing it there. I mean, the funny thing is, and this is the type of game it is I imagine that it's going to be like, after almost a year and a half of waiting, the game's going to be like 2 hours long. But yeah,
I mean, if it's anything like those types of games, yeah. Like even what was the one we played last year, Streets of Rage 4, right? Similar type of game. And that was only like what, about 2.5-3 hours, so
yes, I assume what we'll get is a lot of replayability. And then, you know, I assume like there'll be some element of why you want to use the 7 different characters. I'm hoping different skins and stuff like that.
Looking forward to that. And that announcement came out of Jeff Keighley's Key 3 Summer Games Fest.
Did you just call it Key 3?
Key 3. Key 3. I did
it
not.
It really is a celebration of Jeff Keighley.
Yeah. I did not coin that term, so.
Yes. I guess credit where credit's due. He's the only one putting this kind of show with games from lots of different places together. So maybe he deserves a little bit of time in the sun. He just has too much time in the sun. Like, does he really need to sit there and talk like for 2 minutes before every trailer? Does that need to happen?
No.
And like I would prefer to hear from someone who was like making the game on the trailer. Like that would be a much more powerful introduction because I might say something interesting. Like he's just reading off a card. He doesn't actually know anything about the game.
I will say this much. I don't disagree with you, and this is not a disagreement at all. But I came away. I think Walt and I watched Roto YouTube Watch Live, and my takeaway is we've had complaints in the past about events like this as well, and that this one I felt was both too. It was paced badgy in both ways. Because you can be paced badgy, you can be paced badgy, and be paced badgy, things take too long. You can be paced badgy where it's like, bam, 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 bam. I mean, you have no time for anything to settle. And somehow, he managed to do both at the same time. Because there would be games, like, I'm going to call Modern Warfare 2, biggest franchise in gaming. It makes sense. You have a 7-minute demo, you have a 7-8-minute of the game. And then you have a 5-minute interview after the fact. Like, it just kind of kills all types of momentum. And then there's games that are interesting that get like a 50-second trailer, and then you move on to the next game. Like, not even like a reiteration of you know, this game is awesome. It's coming to X, Y, and Z. It's just like, oh, we have something else awesome coming up. Here you go. And like, you can't, you have to figure out that some stuff needs time to breathe so people can. And some stuff doesn't, like, you don't need to give 15 minutes to Modern Warfare. And I think you also didn't need to give 10, 15, 20 minutes, however long it felt, to The Last of Us. And I don't just mean The Last of Us. I mean, yes, it sucks that The Last of Us remastered was leaked ahead of time. But it was like that wasn't the segment that was part of the segment that was the big ender, but like the segment talked about like I guess they're doing a spin-off Last of Us multiplayer shooter, which I don't know why. I don't remember the game gunplay being like the thing that I screamed about in any of these games.
They
do bad gunplay, in fact.
They have multiplayer.
In the first one, and they had multiplayer in Uncharted. Does not mean I want to play that multiplayer on its own. Like, it's a fun addition, but like, they didn't have anything to show. It's like, here's a concept art of what it looks like. And then it's like, oh, you know, like, they talked about the TV show, and they talked about like Neil Druckmann, I guess, directing an episode. And they showed a screen cap of the TV show. Not a teaser, not a trailer, a screen cap of the TV show. And then it came out, and I guess Troy Baker and whoever are in the show, they didn't say who they are. But they talked about that for like 5 minutes. And then it was like the Last of Us Last of Us Part 1 on the PS5, which, again, was leaked ahead of time. So it's just like, why did you waste? Again, I don't know. It might have been 10 minutes. It could have been 20 minutes. I wasn't paying attention. I was just so checked out at that point. I'm like, oh, this is your big ender. We know what the game is. They acknowledge that the game leaked, and they're still doing this awkward banter to lead up to it. And like I said, that, and then there was one point, I forget what game it was, but they showed off a game, and then they brought out Troy Baker and, not Nolan North, what is the other popular male voice actor that everybody gets?
Aren't those the two?
They are the two, but there's a third one.
Oh.
He's also in, oh crap, I want to say he was also in Arkham Origins, but.
Oh, Roger Clark?
Yes. And
he played Arthur Morgan in Red Dead 2.
Yes, and so they show a game, and then they bring them out. And don't get me wrong, I like having different. But if you're reviewing a game, I feel like I want to hear from the developers, not necessarily the voice talent, because there's not a lot of insight they offer into the production of the game.
Right, yeah, they would know their characters and maybe what the basic story would be, but not how the game plays.
Yes, so that was yes, that was that. Wow, that was that.
All right. Well, I got a list here. It is not in order. I don't know why IGN did not put it in order, or maybe it is in order, but maybe it's backwards. I don't know.
The only thing I would say about the order would be that like there was, I mean, people put like the first few games were very space heavy, like brown shooters. Then there was like a middle portion that was more animated and colorful, and then like the finale is just kind of like more like grounded shooters, I guess.
Okay. We already talked about The Last of Us Remake. Did we talk about The Last of Us Remake? Maybe not. We talked about The Last of Us. They're remaking that. Hits in September. I have no desire to go play that game again. So, Last of Us multiplayer, which Earl just mentioned. Street Fighter 6 looks like they had another gameplay trailer for that. Revealed is it Guile? Is that how we pronounce it? He was revealed. Like, I mean, that makes sense. He is a Street Fighter staple. That game looks good. I can't see myself playing a fighting game for a long period of time. So, Aliens Dark Descent,
which is interesting, but part of me was just like, we just got an Aliens game at the start of this year.
Yeah. Well, no, last summer. I actually came out last.
Sorry. Yeah, it got on Game Pass. Yeah, so it's in my.
Yes. Yeah. It just came out on Game Pass recently. So that's, you know, that's also a year out. So that's not coming until 2023.
So 2024. We just start adding
a year to everything.
To every game that gets announced. Like, this is a new game that's coming out in 2023. Okay. 24. Got it. That will temper our expectations. We'll feel a lot better about things.
I guess they showed some of the HBO The Last of Us series.
They showed a screenshot.
Oh.
A screenshot. That, yeah, just a screenshot.
So nothing. Good on that, I guess. And Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson will have, who played Joel in the game and Ellie in the game, evidently. They're going to have a role that is more than a cameo. Callisto Protocol got some gameplay?
Yeah, yeah, and it re-desiccate the Last of Us. I mean, well, not the Last of Us, Dead Space.
Yep. Checks out. Could be fun. I don't know if IGN here says, the Callisto Protocol is promising to be one of the scariest games ever. I'm not sure about that, but we'll see. Earl mentioned Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. They showed some of that gameplay. Modern Warfare 2-2. Right, that's what it would be. It's the second Modern Warfare 2.
So much Warfare 2.
And they bring back some of your favorite characters, who they said, and I'm like, okay, if you say so.
We had favorite characters. I don't have any favorite characters in those games.
The only character I know and that they named and I could recognize by name was Captain Price.
Yes. But I couldn't tell you anything about Captain Price other than he's Captain Price.
Other than his name, I could not tell you what he looks like, what he sounds like, but I know the names here.
Like, I know Captain Price, and I, like, as you guys said, I can't tell you what they were, but Soap nope. McTavish? You don't
Oh, okay. Him? I remember Soap.
That is a name I remember. And then Ghost. He's the one that has that, like, mask that he wears. I know the names, but like who they actually are in Call of Duty lore, I don't know. Layers of Fear is getting a reboot by Blooper Team. So cool there. Like this is not an exciting list. Marvel's Midnight Suns, they had another trailer and revealed Spider-Man.
But not a gameplay trailer.
It was not, okay, it was just another cinematic trailer?
Yeah.
Yes. I did not want a cinematic trailer for that. That game is supposed to come out this fall. There should be gameplay to show us.
Yeah, and I think the worst part about it, and maybe I'm completely wrong when it does happen, is it's a tactical RPG. And the way they keep on showing it, I feel like people are going to think it's an action game.
It's supposed to be like an XCOM. Like,
yeah, it's an XCOM. Right? I mean, it's made by the guys who made XCOM. It's literally supposed to be an XCOM game. I'm not really sure.
Don't get me wrong. XCOM is, you know, it's a fun. But like, I feel like they're just misleading people when you have characters like jumping all over the place and helping each other and being enveloped by enemies. And it's like, no, that's not what this game is. I mean, like, they might have, like, I assume they'll have moves that look like that when you do it, but that's not how you're going to play. It's going to make you do something, and that's how it plays out.
I mean, there are like 14 more conferences over the next week, so maybe we'll get a gameplay trailer.
Yeah. I mean, they've showed gameplay off, but they've shown gameplay off like more than a year ago. So who knows what it looks like now?
Right. They showed gameplay for Gotham Knights. I guess they showed Nightwing.
Yes. I mean, Earl. Yeah.
Earl sounds really excited about Nightwing.
I mean, I got Gotham Knights, and I think we'll talk about it later. It's up there with Sonic Frontiers, where it's a game that was much more interesting before they started showing me what the game was.
What is, like, in my head, I haven't really watched any of the Gotham Knights stuff. In my head, it's just like Batman Arkham, but with, like, you know, Nightwing and other Bat family members.
Yes, and that would have been great in execution. What it turns out being is that, from what we've seen, it's a very kind of slow action game that feels janky, that looks janky compared to, like, the smoothness of the Arkham games. And the weird thing about it is, like, they've done a co-op element in the Arkham games with, is it Arkham City that you team up with Catwoman? And then, like, I think Arkham Knight has an actual online co-op mode where you can cast the different side characters and, like, battle arenas. And it's like, why didn't you just take that and make it a full game instead of whatever this is?
Yep. So, if Earl's not excited for it, I'm not holding out hope for it. Turtles. We talked about Turtles. It's great. It'll be out next week. Maybe we'll have actual commentary on it then. Saints Row.
What a week.
Boss Factory.
Oh, yeah. So, I forgot to download. Apparently, I mean, this is pretty clever. Saints Row, I think, has always kind of been one of the top nine character creators. So, they're like, before the game comes out, you can download a character creator for free and mess around with it. So, you know, if you're going to create have a custom character, why not give people the option to just make them before the game so you don't spend half an hour doing that when the game comes out?
Yeah. And that game will be out in about 2.5 months, August 23rd. So kind of looking forward to that. Cuphead, the delicious last course.
Nom, nom, nom.
Is that a new game or?
Kind of sounds like DLC, but I hope it's a new game.
Not really. The write up here does not really state, but looks like more Cuphead. Neon White, a card based shooter. I'm not sure what that means. And Humankind coming to consoles. Kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean those. I don't know why. Like after Civ did it, like all those games should be on console because it just works pretty well.
Right, they figured out how to do it there. So
right, RTSs don't work, but turn-based games like that tend to work pretty well. So
you don't have to be quick, right? Like you can take your time with what you want to do in your turn. That's cool.
Yeah, they announced that it's coming with all like the extra DLC content.
Oh, that's neat. And it's that's something it'll be in Game Pass as well.
Yeah. And that's good because the one criticism I have of that game, which I thought was pretty good, was that there just wasn't enough content. So like adding more like that is really good.
And I guess it also has some new DLC, Cultures of Latin America.
Yeah.
Neat on that. Walt seemed pretty excited about Flashback 2.
So was Jeff Keighley. Apparently it's a game he played growing up as a kid. And he expects us to believe that Jeff Keighley was ever a kid who enjoyed video games.
I played the original. It's fine. It's a, you know, it's like a side-scrolling platformer, action platformer. It's weird that they're making it. Like, what, that game was early 90s, so...
30 years ago, apparently.
Yeah. Weird. And I guess we're going to find out more details on how it'll play in the coming months, so... Oh, this list just keeps going.
You're like, no! No! Why, Keighley, why?
Like, there's, like, no information to it. It's just, like Witchfire makes a return after being announced at 2017's Game Awards. Like, I don't
has
remember
it been that.
That
long since we've seen. Oh my god,
was that an? I didn't. I don't remember this game at all.
No, the image that they have here is like some sort of demon thing, and you're shooting it. It's good.
It looked pretty cool.
Okay.
Kind of like you'd have a gun in one hand and you were casting spells to like. Freeze enemies or knock them down with the other hand.
It's like a kind of like a Hexen or Heretic.
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe that could be cool. All right. Well, evidently that was announced 5 years ago. and they haven't talked about it since, but it's back and it'll be entering early access soon. So look for the final release on that in 2024. Fort Solace. I don't know what that is. Sci-fi thing.
It looked interesting from what, again, like There was a handful of games that I thought was interesting, but they all kind of grew together after 2 hours. I want to say that was one that I thought looked cool.
That is the one with Troy Baker and Roger Clark.
Okay, so that was okay. That was the one who, like, yes, it was a new game, and I'm like, oh, let's hear from the voice actors to tell us about voice act. Again, not hating on them. I think it's a good. I think that's a thing you do to the lead up to the game, not for your reveal.
Game called Routine, which
also looks, a re-review, I think.
What was that? That was announced almost 10 years ago, according to this.
God,
these games don't
exist. He's just making up trailers. I think he's just recycling old material and hoping we don't notice.
This write up says it. It's like a mix between Alien Isolation and The Terminator. So that could be cool. That looks like another sci-fi type shooter, though. They announced a post-apocalyptic RTS called Stormgate. That was from some ex-Blizzard staff that broke off, I believe, a couple years ago. We're not going to see this game for a little bit. It'll have a beta next year, and it will be free to play.
That was my favorite part. It's like announcing sign up for the beta. Like, okay, in 2023, I'm like, why the hell would you tell me that now? What am I supposed to do with that information? Like that, I mean, at best, that's 6 months away. I don't care. It's not even for the release. It's for a beta. Why would I care? And then the other thing, as somebody pointed out, and I concur, like Stormgate sounds like is a name that sounds like it's a game that I've already played. Yeah, like it's just like trying to think. I guess this is a sequel or something, but I guess it's a new IP.
Yeah, it's just a very generic sounding game name. Like, just it sounds like something you've probably played.
Yeah, and I would say that this is one of those games because I would also, just you know, 2 hours. I would be surprised if you added it all up. If you got maybe 15 minutes of actual gameplay across the entire 2 hours, because this is one of those that I thought was really interesting from the you know, the CG Troy they showed, and then they're like, it's like an RTS. I'm like, I did not get that at all from the trailer. So I feel like there's a disconnect here.
Yeah, I mean, I could see on one hand where Blizzard is known for their top of the line cinematics, along with the gameplay, with their stuff. But you would think you would have had something that like showed, hey, this is kind of Stargate, Starcraft looking or Warcraft looking or something like that, like to give you that vibe. Goat Simulator 3 was announced. Ooh. There's no Goat Simulator 2 as far as I know.
Yeah, okay. I was a little surprised by that too. I was like, did I miss that other game?
Okay, I saw people say that too, and I just thought I just completely missed it. So it's like one of those, what is it? It's like Thanksgiving 3, which is the search for Thanksgiving 2. It's like a haha, wink, wink joke.
I mean, that game is, the original game is a joke, so...
Yeah, because I thought, because very much, if you watch the trailer, it is very reminiscent of the Dead Island trailer, and I thought people, myself and Kuda, thought that was like, oh, they're like, it's a sequel to a game that's been, you know, and like, oh, you know, like Dead Island 2 has been in the works for, I don't know, a decade plus now?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if that hits Game Pass, I'll probably play it, but... Going out of my way to play Goat Simulator 2.
Why not?
It is a fun, goofy, like half hour of play.
Yeah, that is actually the only reason I played the original. It's on Game Pass. It was free.
It's like, oh, this is cute. It's like an interesting physics demo. There's no real right. game here. It's just
right.
run around and do stupid shit with the goat's tongue. Warhammer 40K Darktide. Another Warhammer game. It got a gameplay trailer, though, so. Nothing on that. And I'm skipping some of this shit. Like,
Chris gives up. He gives up.
I was going to say, I think that Chris gave up around the part that most of us did too. In the real world, it's like, oh no, this is still going on. The hard thing is, like, Chris has this in front of him. I don't even care to look it up because I'm like, I would point out games that I found more interesting, but I'm also just like, I don't remember what they were. And there's a lot of junk there that is just like, eh, okay.
So, like, real quick, there's a game called High Water. It's an action adventure game. Lets players explore a world ravaged by the effects of climate change. It has like a very kind of interesting art style to it. A One Piece game. I don't know One Piece. I don't really watch anime, so that doesn't do anything for me. Genshin Impact. They revealed a new character. I don't know what Nightingale is. Some survival game. So probably check down on that one.
Okay, so my favorite game that I saw announced, looking at my tweets, was a game called American Arcadia.
Okay, so last one on this list.
And that is, don't know how to, I mean, the concept itself is like, it's kind of essentially kind of like a weird dystopian Truman Show, and like you're on TV and doing stuff, but you're also trying to escape. And as you escape, like the game master gets more upset and sends people after you. So it's kind of like a weird game of survival and escape. And this style is very interesting. So I want to see more of it, but it was a game that I think outside of Turtles most caught my attention.
Yeah, I'm looking, like, I like the kind of the stylistic approach they've taken to the characters here. Looks neat. Anything else catch your eye, Earl?
I think that was it.
Okay. There was only two other things here. Something called Metal Hellslinger. Hellsinger, not Hellslinger. It's a music-based rhythm shooter. I don't know what the hell that means. Those are words that don't go together. And there's a new Warframe open world expansion. So if you're still out there playing Warframe.
That game's been out for ages.
This was the big Jeff Keighley thing, and I don't know. That seemed very underwhelming.
It was, and I saw a lot of people. Well, okay, before I say that, the one thing I completely forgot, and I kind of feel I laugh and I cry at the same time, is that this was broadcast in movie theaters, so there were people out there who went to the movie theaters to go watch, and they watched this, and I have to laugh and cry for them that they, because again, Jeff Keighley is one of those people who's always like, temper your expectations, but he's also like, oh, like, I think he said that this week, like, temper your expectations, but also remember, like, remember, actually, Elden Ring was an unannounced game, so it's like, you want to temper your expectations, but like, oh, we can have this big surprise reveal of an old game, and you don't get that, but really, I think it's just this weird dynamic of it being a show without an identity. Like, you mentioned something like Street Fighter. They had, like, the Street Fighter started off the show with the reveal of Gao. But then it's like, why not work with Capcom to hold the reveal of Street Fighter 6 from earlier this week?
Right.
It's the same thing with, you know, The Last of Us. I mean, yes, that Sony kind of screwed the pooch with that. But I assume we'll hear more about that soon from Sony, because the game is out in 3 months. So, like, yes, you have a trailer, but like, Sony will probably do a more in-depth look at that. Modern Warfare has been revealed before. I don't even know if this is the first gameplay of that. This might be the first gameplay of it. But it's stuff like that where you get these big games, but then, and I don't want to sag on indies. I think, you know, they have their place. I think they're great. They're very interesting games. But I do think that, like, my initial complaint was, it's the pacing. You can have too many games, and you can have too big of a segment. Like, if this was cut in, like, half, maybe even the same amount of games, if it was just like, okay, we're not going to go to Jeff Keighley in between every game. Here's a... And then you don't have to do the whole... Because, the thing that drives me nuts is there's a world premiere before and after every trailer. And if you put world premiere in general on everything, it just, it dilutes it, which is why, I mean, and this isn't a Keighley thing. We've joked about this in the past with Sony and Microsoft, where it's like world premiere, world exclusive, whatever. Those words use meaning, but if you do it with every game, like, what's the point of even saying world premiere?
Right, why don't you just do it? Everything today is a world premiere.
And honestly,
maybe it's not.
And honestly, from E3 or these presentations, that's kind of what I expect. I don't expect anything's like, oh, here's a trailer we showed you like 3 months ago again. If that's the case, point that out. That's at least interesting. But yeah, I think it acts an identity. And I think the big problem is, honestly, is that Jeff Keighley is not a publisher. He's not a console maker. There's no real uniforming, like, okay, we need this to be the theme. Like, this is our big thing. It's a bunch of games that you kind of throw in a blender and you spit out.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who this is for, right? Like, you people are going to tune into the Xbox show on Sunday because they have Xboxes or they want to see what Microsoft and Bethesda are up to. People tune into Sony State of Play because they want to know what's happening on PlayStation and what those exclusives are. Same with the Directs or like the Ubisoft show or the Square Enix show. But this thing, like, what is it? Because nobody is going to give you their big thing if they're having their own show.
What are you?
Yeah, and to kind of drive home that point a bit, is you look at what Nintendo offered. Nintendo offered a commercial, and then Nintendo offered a second commercial for Mario Strikers, which is out tomorrow. Nintendo had maybe a minute. It's not a tease. It's like the Switch exists. We're making games for it. That was it. And it's like, yeah, you're not even like, you can't even get like a launch show for Mario Strikers, which is tomorrow. They had a segment on the Query, which is out today. It's like, yeah, nobody's giving you the big gets. Like, we'll give you updates on stuff because we need an avenue for it. But there was, and it's not. Like, you know, people said it's the pandemic. Yes, it is the pandemic. 2022, I think we've agreed. I mean, we've had this. We'll see what Microsoft has to offer. Does not add a ton of games that are coming out this year. It happens.
Right.
But this is the third year now, and I don't think it's gotten better. I might even say it's gotten worse. And you, at some point, you can blame that. But we've seen conferences where you have a lack of content, but it's how you present it. And you can make three, like, going back many, many years ago, Nintendo once had an E3 that was primarily all about Breath of the Wild. Like, almost everything they did at that E3 is Breath of the Wild related. They made that interesting with one game. So you can do it. You can do it. Sony's done it before, where you have 20 games. And it's like, bam, major announcement, here's a bunch of games, major announcement, here's a bunch of games, major announcement, here's a bunch of games, and then a major announcement. So you can do it that way, too. This does not know what it wants to be. It does not know which direction it's aiming at. It does not have any organization. It does not... oddly enough, even though it's driven by a personality, it acts a personality. And I would say...
No, it has Jeff Keighley's personality.
Yes, and I was going to say, he does not have a personality. He is, I don't want to say a chameleon, he's a sponge. Basically, he would absorb everything, because everything to him is interesting, exciting. You'll get a kick out of this. And I'm pretty sure if you watch, he probably introduced every game with those three sentence words in some fashion. And it's like, no, the thing I took away from this, and I you know, this is not a Kiryu specific thing, and we'll get into Devolver Digital because I enjoy those shows for this reason, is that a lot of people in the gaming industry don't know how to laugh at themselves. They know how to make jokes. They know how to kind of make, you know, like have rapport. I mean, they have terrible banter, but whatever. But a lot of people don't know how to laugh at themselves. So it's like you don't have that fun wink wink meta stuff. It's one of the reasons that the Nintendo Direct, in my opinion, used to work, is because Nintendo, for, you know, all of its faults, has no problem making fun of how stupid they can be. In a way, I guess Nintendo's not going to mention the fact that we'll get into Xenoblade a bit later on. They won't mention that stuff, but they will poke fun at how, you know, like it is. It's they're entertainers. Let's go with that. Where I feel like a lot of other people was like, this has to be very serious presentations by very serious people who are talking about this in a very serious manner, because this is our life blood. This is our live stream. We need to make sure everybody's having a hype serious time and not like a good time, which are two different things.
Yeah, and like video games are inherently fun.
And scary.
Right. I mean, like, there are definitely games that are not fun. There are games that are serious, but like this time of year has always kind of been a big celebration of games. It gets people excited for it. And I don't know, just having something so devoid of life when you're talking about things, about these games that should be new and exciting, just sucks the life out of it. You mentioned Devolver.
Yes.
They had a showcase. I thought there was more, but you informed me before we started that they only had three games.
And I mean, it was a showcase. I don't know if you looked into it, but it was not the reason I enjoy Devolver, and I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, is Devolver is not necessarily that they make, but they have a whole meta narrative around stuff. And this one was, I mean, this, like, what they tend to do is they poke fun at the industry. So this one was about everybody's fascination with countdowns. You don't know what the countdown's going to lead to, but if a game developer has like a countdown that's like, it's going to end in 7 days, that 7 days is going to be talked about. It's like, oh man, what are they going to announce? What are they going to show? And it's like, and then they had a celebrity host, which was Suda51 via like a Zoom screen and a giant robot. And like they were talking about the video game singularity, which is kind of poking fun at the fact that like all of these companies are absorbing other companies, and like if it continues, we'll just have like one giant video game company that is making the free to play, pay to earn, multi-billion dollar indie AAA title. And like it's one of those things that you have, like, sometimes I do think their jokes can go on a bit too long. But it's like one of those things, like, I enjoy watching because it's just so insane. And then every so often it'll work in a game announcement. Like, again, I think I've watched them every year they've done it. And they probably announce like 4 or 5 games every time. But like once, sometimes they do have interesting games, which we'll get to. But it's also like the presentation that gets to you. And it's like, it's fun. And I think the one thing I will say, even though I enjoyed today's, is that it's usually stronger because it usually comes near the end of E3 when the stuff they parodied in actually makes sense, because you've seen a bunch of conferences pulling the same tropes they're making fun of. You know, this year, the only thing that was really before it was the Summer Game Fest and the Day of the Dev, which I did not watch. I didn't even have opinions on that.
There were three games that they announced here. Angerfoot,
which is just a great name.
Conceptually, it sounds good. It's a game about kicking doors and kicking ass.
Yep, you kick doors and you shoot people.
Angerfoot will have you battering gangsters, buying new sneakers, and upgrading your power as you smash your way through sewers and skyscrapers. That sounds fun. Like, has a goofy art style. That could be a good time. And then one that you kind of showed to all of us prior to this was the Plucky Squire,
which looks really great.
Yeah, I mean, at first, like the trailer is actually really cool. It kind of starts out storybook style, and it looked like you'd be controlling your character in the storybook. But then that little character, the squire, escapes from the book, and then like your adventures kind of start taking place around this kid's room and the rest of the house. And it's really, really cool. Lots of different gameplay styles. There were shooters and brawlers and platforming.
It reminds me a lot. Well, not a lot. It reminds me in some ways of Odyssey. The segments, like Odyssey is a 3D platform, and then you go into the walls and you have the 2D segments. And this is kind of the reverse, where it's like it seems like the 2D segment, and then you have like this 3D world you can explore. And the 3D, I mean, the 2D looks great, and then the 3D, it's like really a really nice style to it. And I'm like, yes, of everything announced today, this was the one that, like, oh, this is on my radar. I really want to see what comes of it, except it has that indie curse of I'm almost certain not being out this year.
Yeah.
Which means that, it is 2023, which means that it's going to be one of those games that probably vanishes for the rest of this year, and then like will appear one day and say it's out. So.
Well, I hope we can kind of keep an eye on it, because it looks like it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Happy to see it.
And then a game called Cult of Lamb.
Which I feel like was a game they announced last year or was announced before as a teaser. But yeah, it looks interesting enough.
Build a demonic cult of animals to do your dark bidding.
As one does.
Looks cute. That'll be out on everything on August 11th. And I guess you can go play a demo of it right now.
On PC only, though, I think.
Yeah, it's on Steam.
Demonic animals, not for Earl. I can't even speak anymore. It's gone. Keely's taken my voice from me.
You know what? When I realized Keely had taken it all, was when The Rock showed up, and I'm like, even somehow The Rock, who has faults, he has faults, but he's probably one of the charismatic people in the world right now. And they just kind of sucked all the charisma out of the dude. And it was just like the most awkward video recording ever. Because you could tell The Rock is not a big gamer. The Rock doesn't know what he's talking about. The Rock having to talk about how excited he is for gamers and being in Fortnite, and not because Fortnite cut him a big check. And then that caused that parlayed into the biggest game of 2022, The Black Adam Troy, which is a movie. So, the Killies.
I will say I enjoyed that trailer. I did not see the trailer on the Keely show, but I saw the Black Adam trailer. That looks like it could be a good time.
Yeah. Again, I don't think I don't think The Rock disappoints, but like, yeah, he's gotten to the point where he's playing The Rock.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing that, you know, eventually Arnold hit, right? Like, I mean, maybe Arnold's always playing Arnold, but like, he's become such a global sensation, and like they want The Rock to play himself.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'm fine with that. Give me more of The Rock doing ridiculous shit in films. I think that's it for the conferences. There was a limited run conference, I guess, on Monday. And they announced a bunch of new physical releases there, but nothing like new, I don't think.
And sorry, just
yeah.
I time dilution was Capcom was this week, right? Or did we talk about that last week?
When was Capcom? I don't remember, but yes, Capcom did have a thing.
Which was, because, yes, okay, we didn't talk about it, because I think we would have brought up Resident Evil 4, getting a remastered. So
yeah, no!
That was the big announcement, Resident Evil 4 is getting remastered. Even though, heaven forbid, the game's imported to everything. And I wouldn't even be surprised if I think it's on every current system anyhow. But I wouldn't be surprised if they'll continue to port it everywhere. Street Fighter 6 got announced. We did talk about that with the Achilles, but that was where it was announced. Oh, no, we did talk about this.
It's open world.
Yes, right, okay.
Yes.
Then the other thing that, just real quick, was Sonic Central, which was Sonic Central event that took place on Tuesday, I want to say. And, I mean, really, the big thing was Sonic Frontiers. We'll get to that in a second, though. They showed off Sonic Origins, which is out soon. Maybe even this month. I don't remember when. But yes, they showed off that, it's a feature-rich game, I think. You get Sonic 1, 2, and 3, and Sonic & Knuckles, Sonic CD. A lot of it, they come with Boss Rush. They come with special challenges. There's now a mirror mode for certain stages or the games. You had original music, though I think today it came out that Sonic and Knuckles might have some remixed music or some music removed and changed.
Yeah.
I think the pack, and then, the animated sequences, I think the overall package looks great. As somebody asked me this week, I don't necessarily know if it's worth $60, but the package looks great, and maybe when it's like 30, I will check it out.
But its base game is $40.
Okay, its base game is $40.
And there's like a digital deluxe edition that is, well, actually even that's $45. So that's not bad.
Yeah.
It's a little pricey for basically what amounts to what, four old games, but that's fine. And that is out June 23rd. So.
Okay, so it is this month. Okay. And then the other thing was, I think, there's Sonic just has a bunch of stuff. They showed first footage of Sonic Prime, which is the new animated show coming to Netflix later this year, I think. There was not a ton of footage. I think they just showed off Shadow or Knuckles, I forget what. Some clothing line. And then I think some updates to some mobile games that I didn't know existed.
Great. Speaking of Netflix, we'll see more of that tomorrow, actually. Sonic Prime.
Oh, will we?
And all that. Yes. That Netflix Geeked Week, their games day is Friday the 10th. And Sonic Prime is announced to be one of the shows they show there.
Okay, I'm also very curious because Kiryu did mention that apparently we're also supposed to get new games announced, which, I guess Netflix does have a game production company now, so.
Yeah, I think there was talk that they were going to be including that with your subscription, so I don't know how that's going to work, but. That might be something interesting to take a look at. That is 3 p.m. tomorrow. So after we're, we will not be talking about it because we're talking about this now. But actually, 1 p.m. is the game showcase. So maybe I'll turn that on tomorrow and take a look.
Yeah, I'll check out my work schedule.
I'd like to see a new Resident Evil TV show trailer, so I don't know if that'll be there though. Any other news that caught your eye?
Nothing stands out. I'm sure there's there's something I missed, but nothing comes to mind right now as the major story in the past 7 days.
Were you able to secure yourself a Xenoblade Collector's Edition or whatever it was?
And not only was I able to secure myself a Xenoblade Collector's Edition, I was able to secure myself two by accident because...
Oh, no. Yes.
Well, no, I honestly have not even bothered to check today because I think their website is still being hammered. Because, you know, if there's one thing we know is Nintendo's at the forefront of technology.
Yes, absolutely.
So I ended up having to do a workaround. And doing that weird workaround is, I guess, I added two to my cart at some point. And I just was like, oh, I can check out. And there was no way to change the quantities. I'm like, I'm just going to check out, make sure I secure myself one so the site doesn't crash anymore. And then I'll go back in, hopefully, and cancel one. Because yeah, money doesn't grow on trees. But yes, that was.
But it does come from trees.
It does. But that was an utter shit show. And I mean, kudos to Nintendo for finding new ways to screw up the internet. But it was just like, oh man, I'm trying to think of how to even explain it. But yes, because this, you know, they announced this a few weeks ago, that it, and then they announced like it's going to be exclusive to their web store, and you know that web sites are always great for that, and so they put it up around, I think, around 12 yesterday, so I'm like, oh, okay, let me grab it, and then I will finish my day. I'm not going to bore you with the details, but I ended up getting one around like 6:37 at night. I was not trying the entire time. At some point I was sitting around my computer. I was like, oh, I need to go eat lunch and go. I got comics and stuff like that. And I was just like, I thought it'd be fixed by then. Nope. Like I said, I ended up doing a workaround where it's like you go on to like, you had to add the game to your wish list. The wish list took you to the website, which allows you to like add it to your cart. When you added it to your cart, then you had to go to like the repair site because the repair site said you different, but your cart was still there. And then that didn't work. So ultimately somebody found a link that directly takes you to the checkout page. And on the checkout page, I could just pay for it. I'm like, I'm going to do this. It's in my cart. I'm going to go. And I will, I mean, worst case scenario, if they don't know how many to cancel one of them, I have two. I'm sure there's somebody out there who didn't get it, who I can, you know, saw it too, but it was a disaster, an utter disaster.
Speaking of ordering stuff, I assume you're going to try and get the collector's edition for Turtles.
Yes. Yes.
Is that only
but
being
sold?
You can
play it for free, Earl. Why would you do this?
Yes, I will play for free. I mean, to be fair, my intentions was always to. Because I this is the type of game that I prefer to have digital, but I mean, if you know, I am a huge fan of a lot of things. I think a lot, you know, if you've seen me on Twitter, my icons, Batman and Mario's up there. But my first true love has always been Ninja Turtles. I mean, Ninja Turtles, you know, the animated series premiered 2 years after I was born. It was a show that I grew up with. I've seen almost every iteration of it. You know, that show, New Mutations. The 2003 show, the 2012 show, A Rise of the Ninja Turtles. I've seen all five live action movies. The one animated movie. I've seen all of like the Turtles Forever movie. I think I've shown off before that like, I had the original series in a turtle van. I had the movies in a pizza box. For Christmas last year, I got a Turtles Pizza cookbook. If you see, like half my
have you
artwork.
Used the cookbook?
No. I have, like, one of the things you get in the collector's editions is you get a face bandana. Like, I have a bandana for almost every Ninja Turtle that I've gotten from various conventions. So, yes, if I can. Like,
have you worn
is,
the bandanas outside of your house?
Yes.
Why have I not seen any of these pictures?
You probably have. I usually post, because, I mean, most of the time I get them at a Comic-Con or something, and I usually try them on there. But, to be fair, the reason I don't wear them that often is because there's no real good way to wear them with glasses because I can't hide them over. and I can't really tie them underneath because then it blocks my ears from putting my. But yes, it is something like I will wear it. Maybe I'll wear it tomorrow because I sometimes like. Yes, again, I will wear them. I don't have shame.
What is shame?
But yes, I'm excited. But the thing is like there's two versions of them, and I wanted to what was I gonna say? I want to get apparently the other one I was like, the one I'm recognizing European one, which comes with like pins and all this other stuff. So that's the one I want to get. But I might most likely will end up getting the limited run one, which is based in America, and that comes in like a VHS case.
Yeah,
it comes in a what is coupon for Pizza Hut now?
Yep, you get personal pan pizza with it as well.
Yes, because that's what people fought for. I don't know. People are weird.
So that one is through. I was like, why can't I find this? I thought they were selling it physically because I kept seeing they're going to include a Pizza Hut voucher in the set. And I was like, why can't I find this anywhere? And it's because it's through limited run, right?
Like, yeah. Which is also the reason why I had no problem with it being on Game Pass. Because if you've ordered anything from limited run, I would not pay that game anytime this year.
They're a little slow.
Yes.
Their speed is limited.
Yes. Because, I mean, to be fair, it is. But like, they
wait run behind.
Yes. They don't. They wait until they get all the orders in before they start producing it, where a lot of other people tend to produce it and then tell you we can only make 100 of these. Now, that doesn't mean they have, like, it doesn't mean they have finite stock. It just means that they don't start doing it. Because I think even when you, I could be mistaken. I think even with this, it's like you will get stuff as you get it. You won't necessarily get it all at once. So, yeah.
Like they'll send you parts of the collector's edition separately?
I think. I could be confused with something
weird. I am thinking about ordering a physical Switch version of Tetris Effect from them, but I already have that game on multiple places, so I don't need it right away. I guess tomorrow. Well, did you say the Quarry was already out? Right, it's out today.
I think it's out already. I saw reviews for it.
Okay. And Mario Strikers out tomorrow. So we'll have talk on that next week. Did you guys play anything this week?
More Cyberpunk.
How's that going?
So Jeff's not here. But Jeff, I've heard Jeff talk about this game and talk about how you run into random stuff in the world. The world in this game, while large, kind of just seems dead. Like there's nothing happening. Which is really odd to me because if you played like The Witcher 3, as you're like roaming around, you run into stuff all the time. And it's really cool. In this game, you're like, you're driving around, you don't actually run into stuff. Like, you'll drive into somebody's territory and you'll get a phone call and you can answer the phone call and that can bring you into a mission. But, like, the world doesn't seem, like, dynamic, like you're a part of it.
I wonder if Jeff was just walking around and maybe there's stuff out there?
Because I spend a lot of time, like, walking around. Because I don't enjoy the driving in the game. It feels really floaty and, like, annoying and I don't like it. So I walk, or I fast travel. And when I'm walking, I have yet to run into anything. So I don't know what he was talking about. The world is big, too. Like, you could walk around for a while, but, you know, all I run into is, like, vendors. Or, like, machines you can buy stuff from. And, like, you don't, like, run into somebody who's, like, drunk and harassing you. Or, like, some random event where you have to, like, solve a problem for people. That never seems to happen. Which makes everything in this huge open world seem super scripted. So like, which kind of surprises me because Jeff doesn't really go for the whole story heavy games.
Right.
Normally. But since everything is coming from, you get your telephone call, Then you go and you meet the person in person and you have dialogue with that. And then you go to somebody else and talk to some, like every mission feels like that. So I don't know. The missions themselves are fun. I enjoy them. There's some really good storytelling and character development. That stuff is cool. Some of the people you meet are really, really cool. It just doesn't feel real. It feels like Knights of the Old Republic or like those older open world RPGs where you're literally like, okay, go to your quest giver to get your quest and then go somewhere else.
Right. Like it's like the people in the world, they're there, but they're more like just automatons. Like,
yeah,
they don't really exist, which in Fallout, like it makes sense to not have anything because it's a wasteland. Right? So like, you're not going to have people wandering everywhere, but in this, like it's supposed to be a living city.
Right. But even in Fallout, that kind of stuff happens.
Right.
Like you'll run into like bandits or you'll see like a convoy going through the wilderness or you'll run into some random dude out in the middle of nowhere. That doesn't happen here. Which again, it just kind of like feels weird. It makes the world feel kind of hollow.
That's a shame. But you are enjoying the main.
I am enjoying the missions that I play through. They are fun. The combat, I feel like the swords play seems kind of overbalanced versus the gunplay. So like if I'm in a firefight, I feel more comfortable and more powerful if I pull out a sword and run at somebody. Which is funny because I have my like gun stats higher than my sword stats, but like. Once you start hitting somebody with a sword, they don't fire back. They start flinching, so they stop shooting. They also, the enemies don't pull out melee weapons to defend themselves. So you're like, I'm hitting you with a sword while you're holding this shotgun, and like you can't block. Because if you do run into enemies with melee weapons, they have like melee skills, like they can block and dodge. But almost always when you're fighting enemies, they're armed with a gun. And there's some weird stuff that happens during the combat. Like enemies will like teleport from one spot to another sometimes. You'll be like shooting at them and then they'll disappear. And then they'll be like 10 feet away from where you were firing at them. Which is annoying. It happens infrequently, but it happens frequently enough to notice. But I also feel like most of the enemies in the game aren't strong enough for that to matter. Like, oh, you're over here now. I will kill you over there instead of over here.
I'll just run over here with my sword.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I do like some of the guns. I haven't got... There are like sniper rifles. I'm not really sure why you would use sniper rifles in this game. All of the firefights seem really close and up in your face.
Maybe there's a like an assassination type mission or something.
Yeah, maybe. Like there are also like there are areas where you can clear enemies out of like a building that they're in, so maybe it comes in handy for that kind of stuff. I haven't done any of that. But some of the up close weapons are cool. There are smart shotguns which direct the pellets in flight. So like you'll fire a shotgun at a guy and you know there'll be 8 pellets and they'll all hit him. They don't like if you fire like a dumb shotgun, like the pellets spread as you fire. These like will come like they'll like lock onto different parts of the person's body and all hit him. Which is kind of cool to watch. The shotguns also feel really powerful. Like you can walk up, hit somebody with a shotgun and they fall down because the blast is so powerful. So I kind of like, I like that. The weapons seem to have like a weight to them if they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can shoot somebody with a pistol, they're not going to fall down. But if you walk up next to somebody with a shotgun and shoot them, they are on the ground now. And then you shoot them again while they're lying there and kill them. Too many hit points. All right. But I'm enjoying it. I like it. I like the storytelling. The missions themselves are pretty fun. There is kind of this weird, I don't like it when games do, there's this weird backdrop that's driving the story, which makes it feel like you have to play the main mission. Otherwise, your main character will die.
Oh.
Except you don't have to. You just go. Just go off and do the.
Yeah, I hate that. Like it was always something, and it happens in like. Not saying Cyberpunk's not a good game, but it happens in like really good games too. Like where, in Mass Effect 2, it's like
yes.
we have to do this thing, and then you're like, but I'm not going to do that right now.
But I don't. It's like, yeah, and this one, there's literally like this thing that's infecting your brain, and you're like, yeah, I don't care.
So there's not.
I'm
like going
to go cross town
limit.
And like assassinate this guy because they just hired me to do that. I don't need to fix this problem yet. It's fine.
Yeah, and I guess that's just the trade-off of having it like as an open world type game where you can allow people to go do things.
Yeah.
Because it's not fun to like be like, oh, well, now you're dead because you weren't doing this.
Right. But it's funny because they like your character talks about how long they have left. It's like, I have 2 weeks left. All right, I'm going to go get this box and bring this guy across town so that he can give me some credits. Let me go do that. Urgent.
time is different. 2 weeks is different for video game people.
Yeah.
You play anything else?
I don't think so. I played a lot of Cyberpunk this week. It's been good.
Nice. Earl, you play anything?
Yeah. Just real quick. Even though we'll get into this more hopefully next week. Mario Strikers Battle League had its first kick, which was the online test this weekend. So I got to that was a way. So I only got like one or two games in. And again, you know, Nintendo being Nintendo, they have to make the best and smartest decisions. Decided that, like, for this demo, that they're going to allow you to play the 2v2 mode, which is not two. It's not, you know, like a 2v2. It means two human characters controlling four players on both sides, which is very confusing because traditionally in these types of games, you control whoever has the ball. Makes sense.
Yeah.
But this one, you control specific characters. So, and you can change the character, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the person you pass it to or the person you're trying to set up is you. It might be your partner. And with no voice chat, there's really no way to, I mean, there's voice chat, but there's no way to, so it's very weird. It's also like how you tell who you're controlling. It's just a number floating over your head, and it's not like a 1-2. I think I forget what it went up to. I think at some point I was like a 7. It's very confusing. It's a really messy system.
But damn it.
The fundamentals themselves are solid. I do think it is probably the most not featureless. I want to say in-depth Mario sports game we've had. For me, the online ran smoothly. A lot of people complain about lag, and I didn't get that. But again, I only got to play once or twice, so right. We'll see. But yes, it is one of those games that, like, even though they gave you the demo ahead of time, it feels like one of those games that you're probably gonna have to put time into really understand all the systems, and not something that you can play for like an hour at a time, online to try to get with random and try to figure it out. And then the other thing that Nintendo put out this week that I tried was they put out the Fire Emblem Three Hopes demo, which is, I did not get a ton of time into it because I've been busy. But I mean, it's a Fire Emblem Warriors game. If you played a Warriors game, it's very similar to that. I think I've talked about a Hyrule Warriors game before, and like the big hope with that is like those tend to use items from the Zelda game. This one tends to use the RPG elements of Fire Emblem. So your characters do level up. They have different stats and stuff like that. Characters have special moves, and that you can, you know, you can't abuse the special moves because then it weakens your weapon, and then that needs to be recharged. You have like a special meter that you build up and unleash stuff. Your main character has like a demon form. I don't know if that was just for the prologue, But yes, there's, I mean, it's a Warriors game. I enjoyed them. They're a ton of fun, but you kind of know what you're getting after a while. You're just going around to beat the crap out of thousands of enemies at a time. It's the modern day beat 'em up.
Yeah.
And when does that actually release?
It's out at the end of this month, so I would wait. You're probably the 24th.
Okay. And Strikers is tomorrow. We'll be playing some of that. Anything else?
I think that's that. I mean, I played more Aliens Fire Team, which again, I think I've shared before. I really enjoy that game. We just got to the stage where they started introducing facehuggers. And I mean, I kind of like Hero. I think anything that scurries on the ground and has a super small hit box is just annoying. But like, for the most part, I mean, they're not. We haven't got swarmed by them yet. It is just kind of annoying, but the game remains fun. I think they do a really great job. Again, I couldn't imagine it in single player, but with a full squad of three, it's a ton of fun to kind of see how everything synergizes.
So single player, you are given to AI Android bots that like play alongside you, and they're competent enough. So it is playable. The cool thing about the facehugger guys in that scurry at you is they come out of the eggs.
Yes, and you can destroy the eggs.
You can destroy the eggs before you get up on them. It's just you have to be aware of where they're at, so you can take them out from afar. But you know, once the actual aliens show up, then you're like trying to run away from them to get position, and you may like unset a section of eggs, and then it becomes annoying. Try to fight off aliens and these little fuckers are scurrying up on you.
I will also say, I think one of the aspects that it really works in is like the sound design, because you can start hearing like gurgling sounds like when those are near, you can just kind of like, oh crap, I need to find something to kill. And it's the same thing with like aliens sneaking around. And I do like that they have like the evolved one. So again, I don't know how that works in with the AI, because like, yeah, sometimes like you, I mean, as far as I can tell, everything you can do on like a Left 4 Dead or Back 4 Blood, like when a giant one attacks you, you can still break free. There's some quick time events for you to break free of them. So it's not like you're stuck if like you get caught by one, but like it also helps if your friends are there to knock them off faster.
Yeah.
So yes, and then again, like I do like their interesting aspect of I don't want to say a skill tree, but like their ability, because it's essentially it's like the Resident Evil briefcases and stuff, or item boxes, where you're just kind of playing Tetris, where you're trying to fit all of these things into a number of spaces, and I like that you can rotate them and you can change the directions that help you if you want to try to fit more or whatever. So it's a cute way, I think, to go about building out your character differently and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, I think we're at the final chapter. I don't know much replayability it has, but I've really been enjoying it. I've had a ton of fun with it.
Be interested to see your final thoughts on it once you face off against the Queen.
Oh, that does not sound good.
I think it's
corgis from her jubilee.
Yes, she's just waving at you with her holographic in the car. That's a really good alien game. So glad you're liking it. I haven't played much. I mean, I've played stuff all week, but mostly just more Pac-Man Museum, which we acknowledge was a bad game.
Why are you playing more of it? Do you hate yourself?
So I'm playing it on PC. It is perfectly playable there. Like, it does not have the lag. So if you're playing on Xbox, as we said last week, completely unplayable. Like, it is broken. But it's playable on PC perfectly fine, and I'm going through all the games, doing their missions. They're not very hard, so I'm like unlocking a bunch of achievements. But there are some weird, weird Pac-Man games that, and most of them are bad.
Like, what's just weird about them?
So, like Super Pac-Man, you're not gobbling up, like power pellets. You are eating fruits. And they're randomly positioned around the map. So it's like, it's just weird. Like Pac-Man, I think everybody's concept of Pac-Man is, you know, yellow circle guy's mouth opens and closes, eats pack pellets, and then eats power pellets to eat ghosts. And a lot of these games aren't that. Like, it's just very strange in its design. Like, they're still maze games, a lot of them, but they're just poorly put together. There's one called Pac-N Pal, which I believe is from 1982. Similar thing where it's a map, but you go around and you eat keys, which then open up sections, because everything you need to eat is gated off, except for these keys. So when you unlock a key, it'll open the gate somewhere on the map, and then you have to go to that section and, you know, eat the item that's in it. But there's also this other creature that is on the map with you, along with the ghosts that are, you know, trying to kill you. And this thing can go and grab the items and bring it back to its base. And it doesn't hurt you, it just takes your points away. But it's just stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Like why is this happening?
Give me my item
back. Right. And then the one cool thing that I did think of is there, you'll eat an item, like, let's say you'll eat like a spaceship, and Pac-Man can then like fire stuff out of his mouth and stun the ghosts. He can't kill them in this one, but he'll stun the ghosts to allow you to get by them. It's very weird. Just very, very weird game. Pac-Land, which you may have played, is something similar on, I think it's called Pac-Man 2 on the Genesis and Super Nintendo. It's like a side-scrolling platform game. It is terrible. It's like the worst design control ever, too. So you'll end up with these large pools, basically. They're like lake-type areas, water areas. And if Pac-Man falls into them, Pac-Man dies, because I guess Pac-Man never learned to swim, at least not at this point. So, like, you have to jump on this springboard and kind of try to get over it. But to do that, you have to, like, tap up on the control pad. Because there's only two controls. There is movement, left and right, or up. And there is jump. That is it. And then to float, you have to, like, slam up on the joystick or the it's not the D-pad, so it is, like, the left stick. And it'll kind of like make Pac-Man hover. So weird. Very poorly put together. There's another one called Pac-In Time. I don't understand why Pac-Man gets a witch sends him back in time. And that one, at least, think of like a 2D platforming level that goes up and down. So it goes left and right horizontally and then up and down vertically. And as Pac-Man, your goal is to eat all the Pac pellets. And once you do that, it unlocks the exit. So at least that one it kind of gets the concept of Pac-Man. It's just the platforming is bad. A lot of it is you have to get this, it's like an Indiana Jones type whip, and it can connect to the top of, like, it can connect to shit, and you can swing across, and you have to utilize that to swing yourself up and then kind of like tumble over to get on higher platforms. It's just not like, these are mostly bad games. It's like in the good games, like Pac-Man itself, Pac-Man Arrangement, Pac-Man Championship Edition. Those all are like what you want out of Pac-Man. Like, go eat pack pellets, eat power pellets, eat ghosts, score points, see how far you can get. And there's so many weird Pac-Man games in this collection. It's like, why did you put them in here? Like, there are tons of other Pac-Man games that you could put in, and you chose these weird, weird games. But and according to this, I played 15 hours of the game, so I'm getting my money's worth, of which I didn't pay anything for this version. But I don't recommend it if you're not a Pac-Man fan at all. Also, Walt's Open World Arcade is very crowded now, because the more you play, the more characters unlock, and they start showing up, and they'll actually, you can be looking at one of the arcade cabinets. If you don't press A to, like, start it, they'll push you out of the way, and then you lose the menu item, so you have to, like, circle back around, go back to that machine. It's very weird, very, very, very weirdly designed, but I'm going to top out on all of these. I figure I should be able to get most of the achievements. And they all have individual leaderboards, so that's kind of fun. So I've ended up in the top 100 on some of them, so leaderboards are fun. If you're not a Pac-Man fan, do not play this game, though. It is not worth examining Pac-Man's history.
Just never play know. Pac-Man. Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
play Pac-Man. It doesn't even have the good championship edition. It has, like, the okay one, the original championship edition. Go play Pac-Man Championship Edition DX away from this. It is a better game. So I think that's it. Unless you guys got anything else.
The only thing I will add before we call it a day is I should actually double check this to make sure I'm not just drunk by Twitter, but I'm almost certain that the Grammys announced a video game category.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
So, I guess starting, I don't know when the Grammys are, so I don't. I guess with the next one, they will add a video game score award to their presentation. We'll see how that goes, but they're asking for recommendations for best score soundtrack for video games and other interactive media. Recognizes excellence in score soundtrack albums comprised predominantly of original scores and created specifically for or as a companion to a current video game or other interactive media released within the qualification period. So yeah, that will be interesting. I am curious to see how that goes.
And how they evaluate it. Like,
yeah, that's normally, what I'm just,
yeah.
Because I feel like, I mean, it's easy to kind of, music is easy. I mean, it's subjective, but it's easy. It's stationary. Movies, kind of the same thing. It's a fixed product. Video games are very, they can be fixed, but they are also very, it can be very situational based. And how do you examine that? Is it just based off of the quality of the music overall or how it fits into the game? Are you going to have a bunch of people at the Grammys actually playing these games?
Yeah, because as you said, it can fluctuate. And it can be very, like, you're doing this in a game and that's why the music is impactful. But outside of that, it doesn't work. I don't know. Be interesting. That will not be until next April. So an eligibility for the Grammys runs as, well, I guess they, if they're asking for them now, it is because eligibility for the 2023 Grammys would end at the end of September of this year.
That is weird.
So anything that came out September 1st of last year through September 30th of this year is eligible.
I guess that kind of makes sense, because, I mean, the Oscars, the eligibility is the calendar year, But like, you're also looking at a thing that, like, even though you're eligible, the awards are almost 3 months after the period ends. So,
right.
No, that's still weird because that's almost half a year.
Yeah. Because, it ends. If eligibility ends September 30th, like it did last year, and the awards weren't until April 3rd. So almost, 6 months. Almost a little bit over 6 months, actually. So interesting. We'll keep an eye on that. We have, we'll watch the Xbox showcase. Or I will at the very least.
Yeah.
We'll have that to talk about next week. Earl, are you getting Strikers?
Fingers crossed. I have to see. I have a very busy weekend, so I might treat myself next week after my Galio is over. I also just spent a lot of money this week that I did not realize I spent. It's like my credit card bill, but...
Well, I will have Strikers, so at the very least, I'll be able to talk about that. May also play The Quarry, and I think we may all dabble in Turtles before we record next week, but
it is out Thursday. Though I guess I am home Thursday, so
yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to play the six-person mode before we record, but we could probably pop it in and play a couple levels or something. All right, well, we'll be back next week. Jeff will return from his honeymooning, which I guess I did not announce, so that's out there now.
Jeff's pregnant, everyone.
Congratulations to Jeff on his recent wedding. We'll have him back with us next week. Earl, take us out.
So, as we started the show, we will end the show. And there's only one way to end the show like this. And that is with a brand new spanking world premiere.